Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 66 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are still discussing the Ordinary Person Psychic Character class. This is the psychic character class for characters who aren't psychic, obviously. And as we discovered yesterday, there's not very much to say about them. That's why the author spent a page blathering on about the Laszlo Agency and the heroism of those who dare to look into the face of Medusa and ask to see her manager. Today, we've got another page to fill on the concept of ordinary people, that there's nothing special about them and they have no powers. So let's fill it up with, let's say, a random table. And on this random table, let's have the character generate a, quote, reason for involvement with the paranormal. The only thing that sets apart the ordinary person from a lowercase o ordinary person is that the capital O ordinary person has been exposed to the supernatural and has therefore decided to get involved and, you know, go fight vampires on weekends while their spouse thinks they're driving an Uber or having an affair or whatever. So this table tells you exactly what got you into the monster hunting game, and honestly, it's a little disappointing. I do love a good Palladium table. Longtime listeners will know, I love these random tables. I love a grab bag, and I love generating a character and coming up with all this random shit, and then you gotta kind of make it fit together somehow, even though it's not ever meant to fit together, and you come up with a great character. For that to work, it does need to be a grab bag. It does need to be various. And it does need to have lots of different options with different energies, different personalities. This is a boring table because the author basically had variants on one idea. There's not a ton of variety in the situation that would lead you to become a monster hunter. It's just sort of like, who are you in this chick tract that is your backstory? So let's just kind of run them down. And if you're familiar with chick tracts, you'll recognize these stock characters. First of all, on a roll of 1 to 50%, so already we're off to a good start. We know the author has tons of confidence in this table, the fact that the first option on it takes up 50% of the whole table. Quote, personal experience and altruistic motives. And it says this is a character who has survived contact with the supernatural. It scared them. They had a bad experience. Now they want to reach out to other people who are in the same boat. Quote, through talk and exchanges of personal experiences, the character tries to help others accept the reality of the situation and show them how to survive it. It also says that this character operates a little like a support group. All the way back on the first page of this PCC with the handsome computer science teacher, we've been getting this thing about like counseling and advice. Like one of the roles of the ordinary person in the group might be to sort of reach out to people and help get them through this rocky time in their life as they're being killed by demons. And I don't think it's super helpful to have a team of Beyond the Supernatural monster hunters who are like a diviner who finds the monster, a ghost hunter who kills the monster, a healer who heals up the team afterward, and an ordinary person who like gives their card to the person the demon almost ate and helps them understand that it wasn't their fault. Not at all that mental health isn't important, just that on a session construction level, I feel like the last guy, the life coach, he's spending a lot of time on his phone during a lot of the session because his thing doesn't happen until the very end. You always want to deal with public demons and personal demons in that order. So life coach, back of the line. But what if you don't roll a 1 to 50 on percentile? If you roll a 51 to 57, then you have curiosity. You just think monsters and magic are cool, and this inexorably led you into the secrets of this dark and bonkers world. So this is not really like the person in the chick tract who used to be, let's say, an atheist or a witch or a role player or a Catholic and then recovered and now is trying to help other people say their prayers and turn their life around. This is the person who finds out about role playing or witchcraft or Catholicism and is basically an innocent type but sort of gets gradually sucked into this world. And they go to the witchcraft party that turns out to be a seance, or they go to the no pressure Catholic shindig that turns out to be a mass. That's how they get you. And then they're like the innocent who ends up in over their head. This is not super different from having a personal terrifying experience with the supernatural, right? So already we're kind of off on the wrong foot. Pretty much what happened is you were trundling along through life, la 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 la. Then you almost got sacrificed by witches. Now you know about witches and that makes your life complicated. Same basic story, only the first person just encountered witches randomly. just a bad roll on the wandering monster table while they were on their way to work. Whereas the curious person encountered witches because they were kind of curious about witchcraft, and then this happened to them and they had the terrifying brush with, etc., etc. So already, really two flavors of the same story. If you roll a 58 to 64%, you encountered the supernatural through pure happenstance. Quote, saw, heard, or experienced something that gave the individual an epiphany. Now that the character's eyes are opened, he can't ignore the needs of others or deny the existence of demonic forces at work. This individual is in for the long haul, no matter the consequences. Oh, so what you're telling me is this person had a sort of terrifying brush with the supernatural that opened their eyes, and now they can't unsee the supernatural forces around them, and they feel compelled to help others. But this is not, just for the sake of clarity, this is not, quote, personal experience and altruistic motives. This is something different. This is pure happenstance. This is the same fucking thing. This is the very same as the first entry on the table. Only here it's specified that this is pure chance, whereas in the first one it is only presumptively pure chance. This person is definitely innocent. So I guess this is the one you want if you want a character who is squeaky clean and didn't ask for this. Like, in a chick tract, this would be the parent who finds the magical grimoire or the role-playing books or the catechism paraphernalia in their rotten teenager's room and thinks, oh my goodness, where did I go wrong? What happened to my beautiful white Protestant baby? 65 to 71%, good Samaritan. This is where you tried to help somebody who was being plagued by the supernatural, and then you kind of got sucked into it, and now you're involved. This is, in a neat trick, more identical to the previous three entries than they are to each other, because pure happenstance, you had no fault in this, it wasn't you, somebody else did the bad thing, and now you're sucked into the situation. Curiosity, you knew there was something up and you looked into it, and that's what got you pulled in. Personal experience and altruistic motive, you're in this because you care about helping people. So those first three entries are not maybe exactly identical to each other, but this fourth one is totally identical to all of them. So well done. This is a truly masterful display of running out of ideas. It's really so close to the others that I feel like it's hard to even pick a different member of like a chick tract cast that this would apply to. But if I had to pick one, I would say you got your rotten kid who gets into some bad stuff. And then you've got the other kid, the good kid, who realizes like, oh, their grades are slipping. They got all these weird books in their backpack. Let me be a narc. I mean a good friend and get involved here and try to pull them out of this. This would be like that character. 72 to 78, revenge or justice. This is where you had a friend or family member or whatever, an acquaintance, a person who was close to you, and they got hurt by the supernatural. And now you're investigating and you're looking for maybe revenge and you're trying to protect other people. This is a tiny, tiny shade different from the first option because you are invested in helping other people and that is why you're in this and you were personally affected by the supernatural, but the main effect was on someone else and your effort to help other people shades toward revenge more than support group. I do like the revenge angle, but you know, let's not overstate the difference here. You still encountered like 2d4 wandering witches one day and that's the source of your involvement in monster hunting. It's just that instead of trying and failing to kill you, they like tried and succeeded in killing your dog, and now you're going to try to John Wick the whole paranormal underworld, which is both a film that I would watch and a campaign that I would play in, but still basically the same thing. In a chick tract, the revenge role typically would not be played by a person, it would be played by like Jesus coming down from heaven in a panel to like kill all the sinners, but in a good Jesus way, because he's doing it for righteous reasons, which is something that Jesus has in common with John Wick, now that I think about it. But yeah, again, same basic thing. Something happened to you and now you're out to get monsters because of it. We got the witches, we got the moral charge. And the next entry on this list, 79 to 85, sense of duty. Quote, the individual happened to stumble onto events or monsters that have forced the character to accept the reality of the paranormal, supernatural, and magic. Oh, you mean like pure happenstance? Is that what you're referring to? Quote, this revelation has changed the character's life and he or she now strives to learn and understand more about the subject. The character also works to help and protect victims violated by the supernatural and its human pawns and minions. Taking a stand and battling evil just seemed like the right thing to do. This is the very same as what's come before, except now you're a goody two-shoes about it. Now, first of all, it's not really your business. It's not like the witches killed your dog. It's not like the local gaming shop got your teenage son hooked on D&D. It's not even like you went to the local Catholic spaghetti feed and they tried to get you to do Catholic shit while you were just trying to effectively steal a lot of spaghetti from them. You just found out that there was such a thing as D&D or witchcraft or whatever, and just felt like, you know what? It's my job to ruin this. Needless to say, chick tracts have no shortage of this character type. And if you're looking for real life examples, this troper has noted that the kinds of people who leave chick tracts places usually fit this category. Speaking of people leaving chick tracts, 86 to 92, religious conviction. The character has great faith in God, goodness, and humanity, etc., etc. Can you guess? Can you just take a minute? Just guess what happened. Okay, you've had a minute. I'll tell you. What happened is you learned that demons were real, and you had no option to devote your life to helping others who are victims of demons because it seemed like the right thing to do, just like everybody else on this goddamn table. Why even roll? The only thing is this specifies religion. So in the chick tract, this would be the person who prays with the one contrite witch at the end so that one survives while God arranges for the rest of the witches to die in a house fire started by their own little candles or something like that. Now you may notice this leaves us with not quite 100% yet. There's going to be one more entry on this table, right? 93 to 100. And if I wanted to be tricky, I could ask you to guess what that last entry is, but you'd be wrong, because here it is. Quote, attuned to the supernatural. This motherfucker is open to the supernatural like a psychic sensitive and can see ghosts and shit. This is the dumbest thing on this page, because that's not an ordinary person. That, listen, you could have just left this page blank, honestly. There's nothing that needed to be here. If all you're going to say is, why did this ordinary person get involved with the supernatural? Roll on the following table. On a roll of 1 to 92, some supernatural shit happened to you and you got involved. On a roll of 93 to 100, you're not an ordinary person after all. You're Deanna Troi in a trench coat and ghosts live in your house. Why even do this? And by the way, you didn't hear that wrong. Ghosts live in your house. If you roll this option, quote, this character will have his home invaded by 1d6 scurriers and 1d4 stealers. He can see poltergeists and haunting entities, feel the presence of supernatural evil the same as the psychic sensitive, and has a bonus 1d4 PPE. I'm tempted to say that it's really the 1 to 92% that is the dumbest thing on this page, all these different identical options, and they are dumb. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the dumbness of filling most of a page with a random table where 7 of the 8 options are functionally identical. But the only thing that would justify this table is to have at least one option that is different from the others, and they manage to scrounge up one, and it screws up the whole premise of the class. It adds the baffling detail that the character lives with ghosts, which is weird and maybe arguably dumb in a good way, but dumb for sure. If I'm rolling up an ordinary, you know, Joe Nobody, as the previous page said, the last thing I expect is for dead weirdos to be coming through the walls of my house at all hours like fucking Hogwarts. And it grants this character psychic powers, which, as we're going to see later, there actually is a decent option for this ordinary person class to have some psychic ability. This just didn't need to be here at all. And it's here in place of countless other options for ways that an ordinary person could get hooked into the supernatural. The most infuriating thing is that this last entry has a toe over the line. Because if we're going to do that, I mean, if we're going to let this character have psychic powers and involvement with the supernatural for real, what are these 7 other boring-ass options about? We could have a character who, as in Lovecraft, finds out that he maybe is related to or has been affected by some kind of supernatural being. Like, this character finds out that he's a half-vampire. This character finds out that she's like a chosen child whose birth was brought about by some cult that wants her to bring about the apocalypse. You could have a vehicle or a pet that's haunted. If we're going to involve ghosts in this, you could be some elderly detective, and she's got a cat, and her cat, unbeknownst to her, is possessed by a vengeance-seeking spirit. Or you could be a trucker, and your truck is haunted by a ghost. Like in that comic book, Haunted Tank. If the ordinary person doesn't have to be ordinary, there are just a lot of options. So the last option on this table retroactively makes the others inexcusable. Partly for their boringness and the fact that they have no mechanical effect, but also for their sameness. Like, let's say that you are like the leader of a church youth group, and you bought D&D for the group because you are interested in being prepared to do spiritual battle against demons, but then you made a mistake and all the kids learned real spells and they started acid arrowing each other, and you managed to pull them back to the straight and narrow, and now you feel like you got to go save other D&D groups from themselves. That one situation is like all of the other entries on this table, aside from attuned to the supernatural. They're that close together. And as with the girl who punches Baphomet at her slumber party, I would absolutely play the youth group leader who got burned by D&D at a game night and decided, no more, I must travel the earth and wipe out the scourge of tabletop roleplaying. For sure I'll play that character. But I had to use all the boring options from this table to get to that character concept, so you can tell somebody brewed it a little weak. So let's leave this disappointing page behind and move on to an actually interesting option for the ordinary person next time on MDC the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.